Hello everyone, this is the Red News Fanzine Podcast. Thank you all for listening, and thank you all for buying the mag. And if you don't buy the mag, buy the mag. But if you want to support us a little bit more, we also have a Patreon that you can sign up to, and it's patreon.com/rednews. Now, here's the podcast. Goodbye.
Hey everyone, we got no Nick because he said he wants to watch a film, so he called on the 9 o'clock and then has suddenly said, I'm watching a film with Eve, so I'll let you abuse him.
Oh, Christ.
I know, great, isn't it? And I said, what film was it? And he said, oh, it's something with Keira Knightley. Brilliant, that narrows it down. Thanks, Nick. Right, okay, right. Heidi, hi everyone. It's Red News Podcast 300, and I won't overuse a joke. Well, of course I will. I use for 200 and 250. We've got a star guest lineup. We've got all the greats. Have we, fuck? But we've got Shane, Coggy and Nathan, and literally, it feels like we're prisoners. What the fuck? In a strange season, we had the 50 days without a home game, and then we've had this break, and I just feel like a prisoner. I know Nathan's done lots of non-league football. Everyone's been doing loads, but I haven't chatted to everyone and I've been going a bit crazy. So I even watched, because it's nearly a year ago, Leon at Home the other night, and I got so excited again. I thought, in a haze of shite under Amorim, we can blame Amorim for not having any games. And why the fuck did they put an FA Cup weekend straight after an international break? If we'd have been in it, I wouldn't have given a toss. So we're just going to run through some things with everyone. I'll just give my thoughts. Maguire, one-year deal, no-brainer, half the wages, really good negotiations, good for United, good experience. Casemiro's off, makes perfect sense. Effortlessly done as well. The Manu thing carries on, so his new deal, that'd be good. I'm going to go after this. I'm going to do a quick segment with Ben. Thanks to Ben about the youngsters and what he's given. So I'll be interested if you agree with any of Coggy. I'll ask you as well later. Bournemouth, I thought at the time, fucking annoying, but was a valuable point. And that turned out to be even, I thought that pre the results going our way. And we have got very fortunate that every time we play, we're getting results go our way. And it could happen again next weekend. But, I mean, it's all been said. But Stuart Atwell looked and did not look like he wanted to give Manchester United a second penalty in a row. And then to confound it, you cannot tell me that VAR then went, oh, what, we have to cancel a goal and then give Man United a penalty, and didn't just want to fucking avoid all the ABU shit show, because it was. And I hate the fact that games are just settled by who pushed who, but it's, you know, it's a penalty. So it was just annoying. But I thought we looked really well balanced going forward. I thought we were forward progressive with the ball. If we're seeing anything under Carrick, more than the first few games we're running on fumes, it's we're forward passing. Manu, tidy, very good. I thought Sesko was really good when he came on, and like just pushing the man around, like bullying, like you wanted to see Hoyland do. Still raw, but yeah. So, hello Nathan.
Hello.
How you been? Right. Feels like strangers.
I've been alright. I know it's not good for business, but I've quite liked it. I'll obviously be happy again next year when there's a lot more.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got the European football on at the moment, and obviously watch some of the FA Cup, so obviously I'd rather be involved in it, but you know, I don't know. It is what it is.
We knew, yeah, it's just our sabbatical year, isn't it, our gap year, yeah. But we knew after the Brighton the FA Cup that this was just going to be odd, but it just feels particularly like weird. I mean, all getting now it starts,
like,
sorry,
like you say, with it being an international break and then FA Cup, and then we don't play until the Monday, but yeah, obviously that's a totally different argument, you know, like the number of Monday nights we've had and stuff like that. But yeah, I didn't realise that, sorry, that, you know, you're just giving me news on the pod, but I didn't realise that about Maguire's contract, about his wages. That's
no, I don't think that's come through, but that was what a lad was telling me, that it would be exactly what it's turned out, and also it'd be about half of what it was. So fair play to Maguire.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you know, fair play to him. You know, that's good. And I think I saw his Instagram post, and it was like, you know, he obviously does like it, and you know, like, you know, fair play to him. Like, you know, over the last like however many years, I'm not going to start again, but you know, the shit that he got from like the Ronaldo fanboys and all that at that time, he could easily have run away. So fair play to him for sticking with it, and fair play now for taking a pay cut to stay, I guess, you know. So no, that's good, because it was an obvious decision, because there's other areas of the squad that we need to concentrate on in the summer. So him letting him leave as well would have meant we'd needed to be dealing with centre backs as well, wouldn't it? So yeah, it seems sensible decision making for once.
Yeah. And the interest, like, there's lots of speculation. We'll get into this in future pods, but you know, who can we buy? And people going, we need, you know, we need a striker, we need two midfielders, we need a centre back, we need a left back. I think full backs and a midfielder are priority, but it's also what we can get and what the club are willing to do, prepared to do. I read the report in The Athletic how limited funds are for the women's, and I know Jimbo, you know, prioritises the men's side, but I just don't think, unless we are going to get quite a bit of income in, all being well with the sub, but it's just how much manoeuvre we have to do. So,
I think the priority, sorry, yeah. I know we'll talk about, but you know, we're going to lose Casemiro, you know, Ugarte's not good enough, he'll end up going. So they need to sign at least two central midfielders, really, yeah, don't they? So
with Ugarte going, the FA charge against Maguire fucking baffled me as well. Just on a tangent, like if you watch it again, which I did a few times, just to stir my anger with nothing going on, it's like there's nothing in going. Oh, you know, you've said something offensive. It's just like, here I go with my anti-United hats that they've got on, but it's just like, really? So it wouldn't surprise me if we fucking lost him for more games just because they want to do us over. Hello, Coggy.
Yeah, just on Maguire, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, that charge thing is ridiculous. I think Rodri was quite critical of a referee after a match recently, and nothing has been said about it. But Maguire's mental strength in the last few years has been absolutely incredible. You know, if you think about all the shit he's taken from United fans, England fans, the issue in Greece and everything. He was probably, what, fourth, fifth choice centre-half or centre-back under Emery. You know, for him to now come through and you know, arguably being one of their better players under Carrick. And, you know, yeah, I think he deserves, you know, a new contract for a year. And hopefully he'll, you know, get some other players around him fit and help develop Evan and Yoro.
Yeah. Well, that's to see him, and Yoro's put in a decent shift. He's played a lot of games, but you know, like Heaven, I know he's had a couple of times where he's been done. But you just think that they're going to grow into this side, you know, really. Like, I was last time. God, was it last time or was it 20 years ago? But I said about Lemons's thing, but Lemons against Bournemouth, I thought was so assured, dealing with. Yeah. A lot of aggro they were trying to put him under. You just, you know, I think Nathan said the other way. You could pick any amount of games and say, well, we wouldn't have got that point with Onana. We wouldn't have got that point. So, you know, fair play on that. That is a fucking outstanding, it looks, piece of transfer business. Yeah. And we could have got Martinez, who I was siding for. And on another note, I was thinking, you know, I was one who was considering at the start of the season, oh, if it gets us 100 million, Bruno, you know, he can go off and win stuff. You know, Bruno's season, not just the numbers, and he's been fucking sensational. So I'm so glad I talk so much shit that I got, you know, like, to consider. Yeah. He's just been sensational.
Just going back to Lemons, I didn't realise that Tony Coulson's back on the scene at United, and he was the guy that scouted him, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's been back for a few years. I just went on the radar.
Yeah.
But, fair play if Coulson's responsible for that.
Hello, Shane.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, it has been a weird time, a long gap. I was a bit mixed. I was like Nathan. I quite enjoyed, like, financially and like having a bit of time to catch up with stuff. Having a gap from football, but obviously then you miss it. And I just, yeah, I think it's hit home to me the last weekend being FA Cup and now it's European games, as Nathan said, that, you know, we've been spoiled even when we've been a bit mediocre. We've been in the last stages of the FA Cup or European football, and watching other teams do it, it's hit home to me a little bit, because it's a great time of the year. You start to get the good weather, you're outside having pints before big games, and you've got a bit of a buzz. So yeah, missing that, and yeah, looking forward to Leeds. We won't mention the Monday night, you know, it just sort of sucks the fun out of it. Again, you've got to rush up after work and get back, you know, got to go to work the next day, so you can't really have as much of a social as you'd want to. But yeah, it's looking forward to it. And it's, yeah, I'm kind of a bit mixed on whether the gap, like, in theory, gives us a bit of a rest and a recharge over other teams. Like Leeds have been in a, you know, extra time and a FA Cup quarterfinal penalty shootout. You know, in theory, we should have the advantage. But then I think, you know, losing momentum sometimes is not a good thing. I agree with Coggy, actually. That, like, I don't really make notes, but I wrote down one thing, and that was about Maguire. That, you know, we can debate all we like about, is he ultimately the standard that we aspire to? I've always thought he's a little bit slow, but he's been one of our better players this season, as you've all said. But I think his mental resilience is just, you know, it's pretty incredible, really. You've interviewed players in the mag. We've seen lots of players just sort of melt at Old Trafford, given the sort of scrutiny, let alone getting booed by the crowd, which, you know, I think is a shame that happened, but it did happen. And he come through all that, he kept his head down, he never gave out, and he's come through it. And it's, I think, you know, in the modern game, you don't get many footballers that have that resilience or carry themselves like that. So I think in terms of sort of setting the standards for some of the younger players and the sort of culture you want at a club going forward, I think, he's been, no doubt, a good presence. And, you know, with the Litz been out for a long time now, which is a concern. You know, Martinez is injury prone, so I think, yeah, as you all said, I think it's a good move to keep him on. As Nathan said, you don't want to be sort of adding to your sort of transfer shopping list when there's other gaps to be plugged in the meantime. But yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to Leeds. I think, you know, positively, I'm usually a bit of a pessimist, but I think, famous last words, we're a shoo-in for European football now. That's definitely coming back next season. And it looks like, you know, if you look at the league table, we've got a very strong chance of that being Champions League European football. So I think, it's looking positive.
Like 6 points at this stage, advantage with Chelsea facing City, and you don't want other people to get. They're going to stop giving you favours. They're going to start winning, but you'd say I'd be disappointed from here on in if we don't get the full amount. And I think, like, the Mondays, read the mag. A quick thing, we've had the 50 days without a home game. We've had all of this. We've never had so few games of the mag. The campaign will start on April the 20th. Please support us. Buy it. We've only got this mag out for 2 Mondays, which is, like, obviously impacts it. But we've gone big. We're fans in born out of protest on the South Stand on the Mondays. There's a one day, a red May 93 with his camera out with all the photos. A red who's lived around Old Trafford in the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s. Read that. And just, like, it's your stories. But you couldn't ask for better. Leeds, who will be dragged into it if West Ham, if not that, you know, if West Ham win on Friday, they're right in it. So it should be a cracking atmosphere, and bring it on. A couple of other things, sending best wishes to the reader, Claire. Like, can't wait to see you again. Nick's doing the marathons, please support him. He's been whining away. He did 31 kilometres the other day, fair play. And he's not on here because he's watching a film. He called on the time and he's watching a film. But mainly, before I go back to Nathan, like, the island, just going away for a few days, getting them, you know, whether they call it high-intensity training, might be a load of bollocks, but it's a good little move. Just give them a change of scenery. Maybe all the players who weren't, and Wemo wasn't looking right at it, he's had a little break. And what I will was, total aside, but great, I don't know if I can make one or not, but the pre-season tour being a load of Euros is brilliant. You know, the amount of times we've said, oh, we wish it was more local. We wish it was an opportunity for fans to get closer. And they will. So that's fair play. I'm giving out the praise, Nathan.
I was thinking about this. Do you think that, again, that it's sort of like
good planning from the club, like obviously in other European clubs, because we're playing other European clubs around that tour, but because the World Cup is in America and Canada and Mexico, they're thinking, well, we don't want to be travelling quite, because to fit it in, to fit those games in, like, it'd be a lot to them. So maybe they are, like, finally taking, you know, players and, you know, players' welfare into account, and a byproduct is that we actually get a decent pre-season tour, maybe. But I've been eyeing that up. I'd quite like to do the Gothenburg one because I've never been there, so I've not booked anything. But
take a bottle of whiskey and sell it to the locals.
Just to put a spanner in the works on this European thing. I mean, logistically, how is it going to work? I mean, are they going to spend like a week in? Or two in Sweden, stroke Norway, or
and also Manchester. But Coggy, they have to have 3 weeks off. That's the law, isn't it? But who will be back? You could have it that most if the players go, some of them go further, and I know we'll have Mbeumo, you know, like back cut, but you'll have some who won't be joining until the second. But it is interesting. I wonder if they'll do Carrington for 2 weeks, then hot war.
And then just
It's whether Jim can get a discount on, mate, I think.
Yeah, it's whether Ryanair have
got all the fuel by then. But it's on Nathan's point, if you think, I've said before, when all the press, and he was doing it deliberately, obviously, but Jose was caught by the press, so he knew what he was doing, just going, it's all so shit. It's so shit about a pre-season where they travelled ridiculous, thousands and thousands back and forth, you know. So it is, maybe there is a bit, you know, and we'll keep challenging them, but if finally we're 50% of a football club structure, then we're getting in the right direction.
Yeah.
Anything else to add on the football side before we get hate?
I don't want to be miserable. I guess it's a segue into hate. It's not my hate. Like, these pre-seasons, like, yeah, it's good for a trip, social side, but, you know, I'd done Dublin the last time, and it was, you know, like, it didn't necessarily bother me as, you know, someone that goes regular, but it was a youth stroke reserve team, which caused, you know, a lot of frustration for people that paid money to see United in Ireland. But, you know, looking at the fixtures, you know, we're playing on August the 8th in Gothenburg, Leeds in Dublin on August the 12th, and then in Poland on the 15th. And you're not going to, like, you're going to get two different type teams playing between Dublin and Poland, for example. So, yeah, and it's, again, I know it's, you know, these things have got to make money, but I just had a look at the Croke Park tickets, and whether I was a bit late getting on, I don't know, but they were like €85 upwards, most of them were €100. I'm thinking, you know, it's a lot of money. I was getting them, you know, for some sort of family and friends in Ireland. But yeah, it left a bit of a sour taste that, you know, you're going to sell out a big stadium and you're going to cash in and fleece people for a pre, which will likely be a youth stroke reserve team. But,
well, that's the shape of things to come.
I don't think it will. I think they'll do what they did in America and have, like, you know, two teams and, you know, just carte blanche substitutions at half time. So I think you will get, you know, maybe one half of the possible stronger team and then the second half of, you know, the reserve stroke youth players.
But the prices, we know, you know, it's heading, you know, like, as I say, the mag, you know, why we want you to support the camp, but we'll keep at them. It's like we're supposed to feel, oh, it was only 5% again, that's 2 years on the trot. They've kept our attendance allowance the same, even though we've had this amount of Mondays, when they should be considering, like, exemptions across the board on this when people want to decide last minute. And the shape of football to come with the World Cup, with pre-season, is they're just going to keep at it. So perfectly formed.
Can I just say on prices, right? They're charging £10 for the Youth Cup game.
Yeah.
The one people's going to support the youth team, and they're charging £10. I think when we went the other year, you know, the year we won it, Nathan, was it £1 or £2 a game? And you get five or six thousand people there. £7 to park at the ground. And why not just charge people a fiver?
Yeah.
A couple of pounds for kids, and you'll treble the crowd.
Yeah. You know, or even controversial. Just have it free, Coggy.
Well,
I know they'd have to employ stewards and that, but for what, the future, for Entice in the future, you know, who just quickly, Coggy, who should we be looking out for in that game?
I like Armour, who's one of the centre backs. I think he's a cracking player. Very a bit more pace, but look, you know, just like Maguire. Obviously, JJ Gabriel, he's one to watch. And Kakonke, he plays for the under-21s most of the time, but he does come into the youth team. I think he's another special player. So is it AU or something like? There's a young kid who plays left wing. Who's gone on the tour the training camp in Ireland. Who's a good player. So three, four, five decent players there.
And what would you consider for Collier next year? Another loan or?
Yeah, I mean, you know, unfortunately, you know, he had injuries. He didn't start a lot of games at West Brom, and then he had, you know, a couple of bad injuries. Well, he had a bad injury and he came back. So, yeah, I've not seen enough of him while he was at West Brom to say, yeah, he's really progressed and the injury hasn't helped. So, yeah, I would imagine another year on loan.
What has been nice during this break is we haven't had the usual chaos, which again shows that there are sections of United that is calmer. We haven't had, you know, there's not headlines, there's not this, there's not falling outs, which, you know, like is my thing. If a barometer is nothing's happening, that is fucking wonderful, apart from going mad because I miss it. It's just, you know, like you curse it all the time and then you just miss even hugs with you all. But watching, you know, football is such a strange season. Everyone beating everyone, not a very good standard. It's a real opportunity, this. It's a real opportunity to make the step back quicker. Not going to say we're going to win the league next season, but to make the steps quicker than we thought maybe there'd be the opportunity, especially in the doom of November. Right, Hates, because I'm taking up your time. Can I just, you never hear Bubble and Squeak anymore, just being offered anywhere, or I'll have Bubble and Squeak for breakfast. You never do, that used to be around. Was that when you were a kid? Oh, Bubble and Squeak. Do you want Bubble and Squeak for dinner? I didn't like it, but you just never got offered it.
Can I just say that yesterday, John Tarode did a Bubble and Squeak on this morning.
I did not watch that at all. Well, here's the thing for daytime TV. Now, Shane's listed this endlessly, but no United, daytime TV, Easter. In an era where the news is algorithm to fucking, it's all so depressing, and it's just that even the bloody well couldn't get out of the German river, and I was just going, give us a bit of good news, well, come on, swim to freedom. Even he didn't. The news is utter shit. So you turn on daytime TV to just watch switch off, zone out shit, and all it is really fucking morbid adverts. Like a bloke sitting there going, oh, I think I'm on the verge of dementia. I don't want to leave my kids feeling all this. Oh, I'd better hit. Oh, I've got my will out. And it's like, why can't just, it was bad enough when it was stair lifts. And now it's just endless adverts saying, oh, I'm about to pop my clogs tomorrow. I'd better get my will sorted. I don't want to watch that in daytime TV. I do not want to stare at my own mortality when I've got fucking Vanessa Feltz and Richard Madley presenting. It's just like, please stop it.
I was talking to my youngest daughter about my death.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Over Easter, and I said...
Cheery, Coggy.
No, but I said, I don't want to funeral. I said, just get me cremated and then have a party celebration of life, which is what we did for my wife and everything. And but my eldest daughter, Siobhan, doesn't think she'll get closure unless we have a proper funeral. And my youngest daughter, Charlie, went, well, she's paying for it. I'm not
going to
pay for it.
Fucking hell. I'm glad that was a happy Easter conversation. Jesus Christ. This beamed my thought out. The news were all just so... We've never had it so good in terms of standard and quality of life, but we don't feel it because we're just getting shuttered. And then, so what... If it's not a morbid, like, staring mortality in your face, here's another advert, have you got your will sorted? It's that fucking all diarrhea here where they sing I've got diarrhea and rub their tummies about their shit themselves. What the fuck has happened to the world?
Have you ever seen that?
Oh,
I don't know where you've gone there.
It's an ITV ad. They have it on ITV and they go like Gaviscon or something like that and they go, and we might get diarrhea, and they all rub their tummies, and it's like, really? Really? Right. Can I just... There's one bit of good... I watched the Eric and Ernie documentary on iPlayer, I think. Anyway, Eric Morecambe had a heart attack in 1967. Ernie Wise was more than a straight man. Obviously, it's a good thing. It was about his scriptwriter, actually, and that was interesting. For 6 months, Ernie Wise did loads of shit jobs and sent his paycheck for 6 months to his mate. And I thought, that's the type of good news story out of Doom we want to hear. Right, Nathan, sorry, any hates of the week?
No, not really. I don't think, not that I can think of.
You've had a nice break, haven't you? I've been going round the trees.
Well, I've not really had a break. Like, I shouldn't complain with my new work.
Yeah. Please hire Nathan for photography. Sorry, mate.
I've been really busy over the last 2 weeks and over Easter weekend, so I can't complain.
No, that's good.
One thing, I've got another football United bit to talk about, but we can talk about that after the hates. But just to remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, no other hates, nothing.
Okay. Right.
Have a lovely evening at the allotment.
Oh, nice. Well,
so what else? How can I complain about that?
No, and I will say, I will say all episode, is that you have a few days of nice weather and you suddenly forget the shit that's come before it for all the rain we had. So, Ella Shane, any hates?
Yeah, no, I have got a hate, but yeah, I had a really nice weekend, lots of babysitting, Sandy's girlfriend and moving flat, so that was nice. And a bit of daytime TV, a guilty pleasure after slagging it off on a previous podcast, just with a baby asleep on top of me, I just sort of watched, so I started watching Place in the Sun. I'd never really engaged with it before, but it was a little bit addictive, but I got really wound up because I watched a whole episode, which is an hour. They looked at about five places, then they bought one or put an offer in one. So you watch it all through, and then just as the credits rolling up, the woman come on and sort of said, actually, after the show, they decided to pull out. And they, I was like, I just waited an hour. So that wound me up. But yeah, so I had a lovely weekend, a bit of gardening, a bit of painting outside. Yeah, it was nice. Just getting fresh air and the sunshine is great.
Yeah.
Great for the mind.
Sun is so good.
To counter that, and Easter, it's a repeat, so I think I'm starting to regurgitate hate now, but... It's a seasonal one that Easter eggs, they're just shite. They're just absolute garbage. Just a hollow. I don't know how people, how they're getting away with it. Just hollow, dyed chocolate with top prices. My wife actually announced on Easter Sunday that we've never ever bought our children Easter eggs. I said, no, we must have. And the children said, no, you haven't. Like, we get them from grandparents' stuff.
You tight bastard. I don't know if you heard that, Shane, but Coggy said they're meant to be hollow, mate.
I know they're meant to be hollow, but they're just shy. They're all
I do agree. Everything's got smaller.
Easter egg. Don't buy a Yorkie bar, if that's your thing.
With a bit of raisin in. Can't beat it.
It's not my thing, but yeah.
All chocolates are smaller. This is now I'm acting my age, that everything's smaller, everything costs more, everything's more bloody depressing. It's like, where do we start the revolution? In the fanzine, support your fanzines. Coggy, any hate?
Well, I've been out and bought lots of Easter eggs today because they're all at half price. Because I love Easter egg chocolate. I think it's much better than a block of chocolate. Now, I've got the grandkids coming up next Sunday for an Easter egg one, so...
Nice.
Two hates for the week. The first one is... I don't know if anybody saw the press conference that they did in Ireland today, and it was Ahmad and Mbeumo, and the guy said, would you like Carrick to be the manager next season? And I'm thinking, what a twat.
Yeah.
What a stupid question to ask. And in fairness, Ahmad in particular handled it particularly well, but, why ask a question like that? And then the other one is Donald Trump. Fucking hate him.
Well, given, I could say that every week if I was to.
It's just come up on the news, his statement about they're going to obliterate Iran and not ruin the, destroy their civilization. Irrespective of what you think about Iran and their regime and everything.
I like
the fact you said that World War III is about to start and Barney just got up and locked his patio door.
Well, no, I was letting the cat out because the cat's been going. I tell you what. 20 years ago, I'd have had the energy to build a bunker.
Yeah,
I haven't got the energy to build a bunker. I'll just do a threads and put newspapers around me and put me in a cardboard box.
Build a bonfire instead. I know a song about that.
Well, it'd be nice if we could get the pod out tonight.
My local calf does
bubble
and squeak just
to count. Okay. Maybe I'm just missing it then. What was your football thing, Nathan?
It was actually in reference to what Ahmad was saying before, actually, that Coggy's just mentioned, because I've literally just seen it. And I think, I agree with Coggy that, you know, he was put in an awkward position to answer it. But I do think that, you know, like Coggy said, he answered it really well. And I do generally think that, I think that the team will want him to stay now. From what we said, like, you know, the way that he could have just batted that off and said, well, it's not up to me, you know. And he sort of did say that. Ahmad, he sort of did say, you know, it's not for us to decide. But then he did pretty much go into it and we were like, but he is the person to, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I thought, that's interesting. But then, like, I think I put in the group, one of the groups the other week, last week maybe, and Casemiro basically praising him highly.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's, I think it's almost like I've really not liked everyone, like the go-to like line from anyone when saying about should Carrick get it is, yeah, well, it didn't work for Ole, did it? And it's like, well, one, you know, they're two very different people. Like, you can't judge one person off, you know, even though Ole did really well, really, when you think about it. But it does feel like he's got the respect of the players. And when you've got a five-time Champions League winner in Casemiro bigging you up and saying he knows what he's doing, I do think now we're at the stage where, like, it'd be a bigger risk to, even if it was the likes of Luis Enrique or whoever, that it'd be a far bigger risk to make the change now rather than just going along with it, especially if the squad are behind him, because we know what modern football's like, and that's half the battle.
Yeah.
If the players in the changing room don't like you and don't get it, then you're doomed. You only have to look at Chelsea. Yeah. Like, those players do not respect Rossini.
Yeah.
He won't be there long. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, he's it. No, it's a good point. And I've gone, because I was one of those saying, or the Ollie thing, and it's like, does him a disservice, because they're totally two different people. And we actually saw the most exciting football under Ollie. But I'm now fully, if we get top four, then I'd give it to him, because he deserves it. Mm-hmm. You know, to that position to do that. Does anyone dispute that, Coggy, Shane?
No, I mean, I don't. I think using the Ollie as a comparison is a bit wrong, really.
Yeah.
For his limitations as a manager, we were doing okay and he got fucked up by the board by signing Ronaldo.
Yeah.
And I know Ronaldo got a few goals and whatever the case may be, but that fucked up Ollie. And you know, he brought in Sancho, we got Sancho, Martial, Rashford and Greenwood. They're the people you wanted and that, you know, for that attacking option. And he just got fucked completely by the board, by Ronaldo. So I don't know what happened. We might have been talking a totally different thing about Oscar, but I wouldn't use the comparison.
But well, it's a good point, because as I said in my Man U Mad, you know, also what's that Brighton with Ranić, where Ronaldo was tutting and all that. And I do think momentum is such a huge thing in football. It can carry you forward, and you know, you can tell, look at where we were stagnating last Christmas. So for anyone to get it goes beyond, we're now 4 months, let's see how this ends, let's see the last seven games. But it's not just, you know, like, we beat Arsenal and City because they were free. You know, there's been more to it than that. And we held on, you know, like, the important thing of Bournemouth, though frustrating, you're down to 10 men. We've done this before. We've seen how this sort of game can play out. And we're not losing games. And that's not a very Manchester United thing. You want to be winning them all. But we are winning, you know, like, so let's just say, I feel, and I've felt this, it feels lovely to say, you have a break, you're not stressed, that I feel positive about United going forward. And that doesn't mean we'll have kicks in the bollocks, but up the fucking Reds, buy the fanzine, support the campaign, hire Nathan for your photography needs, cheer Nick and sponsor him for his thing. Anything else? Buy a place in the sun.
We just don't just on Carrick there, just the other dimension is that people, whether they're for or against it, have got to consider that the club, whether we believe or trust in it or not, have put in a football structure where, you know, Wilcox and co are kind of like, and that caused a fallout with Amorim. And so you've got to think about who you're comparing Carrick to, because you're not realistically going to get, I don't think, and unless they change that approach and structure and their philosophy, like, you're not going to get a Luis Enrique, or you're not going to get Ancelotti or someone going to come in and be told what to do by Jason Wilcox. So when we talk about who is Carrick or whoever, I think we talk about Carrick and other young managers that are up and coming, not Toronto. I think it's you've got to look at it as a transition thing, and if Carrick's currently working, he might not ultimately be the one who brings us back to a title, but at this phase of the sort of, he seems to be a safe pair of hands, and I think that's why, whether it's ultimately the right decision or not, I think they'll go for him as a fairly safe, don't upset the apple cart. But I think if he gets European football, he deserves it.
You're saying it's either Keith Carrick or it's Gareth Southgate.
Yeah, well, no, thank you. But my memory's all right tonight. I think Nathan and Shane, both of you said they will, you know, look to a yes man because of this setup. And let's see Wilcox, but I'm still scarred. Ratcliffe, stay away from this decision-making thing, because, you know, for all you're going for South Stand, you're going for the 5% extra, you've paid out 40-odd million in your mistakes, you know, in your new structure. So you've got a hell of a lot to prove. But I would, you know, it's so weird, you know, like, you need time to, I was thinking earlier, you know, like, would Amorim still be here if he hadn't kicked off? You know, if we'd have just plodded along, would he still be here if he hadn't kicked off after Leeds? And it was such a spectacular shit, the bed, you know, it's for another what if, so many thousands. What ifs United's always good. Right, so cheers, lads. Thank you so much. And I'll see you all on Monday. Can't wait. Thanks a lot for doing this, and I hope you're all right listening. Take care of yourselves. Come for a hug. Say hello next week, and we're fucking back.
Cheers, lads.
Thank you. Hello, Ben. It's great to hear your voice.
Oh, I know, man. It's been a while, hasn't it?
I know. Madness. We've done a quick pod last night, and then I want to get your views on the youth team and how you're doing, because while I've been stuck in a catacomb, released finally like a mummy on Monday, you've been doing a lot of Man U in. So firstly, the Real Madrid game, how did you find last night? I saw they took it very seriously and were celebrating like mad.
Yeah, there was a level above in the end, but to be fair, for those that don't know, Real Madrid actually play in a serious league, whereas our youth teams play in like development leagues and academy leagues. Their team playing, I hope I'm not butchering this, the Primera Federación Group 1,
right,
which is the third tier of Spanish football.
Right.
So that's like United playing week in, week out League 1 level football.
Yeah.
They are fifth in the league. Currently that league's led by Club Deportivo Tenerife, which are a full-time professional men's side. So they're playing against men week in, week out. And a lot of their players, you could tell, have had a conditioning, have that strength about them. And unlike United's academy side, where we like to tend to play groups of players above their age group, so a lot of ours was about under-18s, with some under-16s on the bench as well. They are 22, 23-year-old players in there, and you could just tell they were just a level above. In the end, don't get me wrong, United started off fantastically well, you know, two quick goals, we started off the night very, very well. We thought, hold on, here we go, you know, Jack Morehouse, who I still think is the best ball carrier in the whole of the United Academy, throughout the whole age groups, from 21s below down to what would be under 18s, so down to there, Morehouse probably the best ball carrier.
Yeah,
and obviously he was the one who scored the first goal last night, Ralph, in the top corner.
Do you think it's right that Morehouse and Lacey didn't go to Ireland then? better to get minutes, obviously.
I think it's better to get minutes, especially with Morehouse and Lacey, because they have been injured as well. So it's about getting more minutes under the belt. And I'm glad that Carrick and Lawrence came to an understanding, Adam Lawrence, that is. But they have filled quite a strong side, because obviously you still have both the Fletcher twins there as well.
Yeah.
You know, Shay Lacey there, who obviously scored from the spot. So it was good to see that he had a very strong side. He had a very strong back line with Tyler Fredrickson, and you know, which obviously he's played first team football in the past as well. So you'd have thought he maybe might have gone to Ireland, and hope I'm not butchering his name. I can't pronounce his name. I'm sorry about him.
Well, you're talking to the preaching to the converted here, mate. Jesus Christ! Don't let me start.
But yeah, so again, you know, been in and around the first team, so it's really good that Carrick and Lawrence have come to that understanding. The Premier League International Cup is, you know, it's the quarterfinals. You know, I'm glad in a way that the some of these, the more sort of experienced of the 18s, 21 level, were able to play.
Yeah.
And obviously, he took a two or three across with him to Ireland anyway, but I think it's beneficial for people like you know, your Shay Lacey's that have been out injured a little bit. Just get minutes under the belt, get football under the belt.
Would you want
scoring goals?
Would you want us to like, because obviously the lower league teams don't want it, but would you ever consider like that would be beneficial for us? Because obviously we've got the EFL Cup, you know, where we've played under 21 sides against better units. Would you ever think that that's a way forward here, or is it just so intrinsically, you know, like it'd just be impossible?
Well, I think to be fair, the FA are trying to do all they can, because obviously they've entered now the 21s in competition, like the National League, the National League Cup or whatever it's called.
Yeah,
I can't remember what it's called.
Whatever, but, yeah.
Yeah, the cup competition, the National League level, so they're playing National League sides. I know that's done league, and obviously you've got the EFL Trophy as well, which, you know, you're playing against League One, League Two sides, which has obviously caused a massive debate across the EFL community. Should the 21s be allowed? Should academy sides be allowed? Does it devalue the competition from their side? But I can't see any other fairer way you could do it, because you can't exactly then put the under 21 sides in League One, League Two. You can open the footballing pyramid, the great footballing pyramid that we have. So how to develop youngsters to play against men as early as possible, to play against seasoned professionals that, you know.
Yeah, but maybe an idea is you like, it sounds, because I sound like I'm contradicting myself, what I'd want for the first team, but you play more European games, you know, like you fit in as many as you can against these units to get the experience, because ultimately the whole process is to get them into the first team and get them challenging, you know, where they're playing better standards of football at each level. The other thing, Ben, obviously you've got the Youth Cup, and there'll be people going who haven't done the youth games like you have, and Zayden. Who should people look out for? Who do you think's had a good season this year?
Well, obviously, the Youth Cup is, you know, you've got your names, like JJ Gabriel is obviously the standout name in all that. For me, he's probably the greatest academy player I've seen since Ravel Morrison.
Right.
I put him up there that high. But, you know, obviously everybody knows about him. Barcelona sniffing around him. I think Real Madrid, I saw a few Real Madrid fans yesterday before the game as well, and they was going on about JJ Gabriel. So his name is starting to creep into there's a forefront of these big Spanish sides. There's Noah Jai, who was on the bench last night, German ball winger. He moved to England age 10. He's 17 years old, but he's been the star of the FA Youth Cup as well, alongside JJ Gabriel. He's chipped in with a few goals. Powerful, skillful winger. He's one to maybe watch out for that people don't maybe necessarily know. You've got, like, unfortunately, Kai Rooney's now out injured for the rest of the season, so that's a bit of a bummer, because Kai Rooney was starting to pick up massive bits of form. I think the other week he played back-to-back games for the 16s and the 18s against Blackburn, both games against Blackburn, and he scored and assisted in both games. So he's going to be a big loss, I feel.
Yeah.
In the 18s, you've got, like, Chinua Obi can still play. He's
Well, what do you make of his season? Because obviously, was it too much last year? And it's like, it's hindered, not helped.
I think so, you know, in a way, because I don't feel he's kicking on. Yes, he's scoring important goals in the FA Youth Cup, and he's scoring goals at 21s level, but it just seems about something missing to me. You know, when you've been on the periphery of the first team last year and everybody was buzzing, and everyone was buzzing, thinking, oh, we got the next best thing, and we just nicked something off Arsenal, something special there. But
yeah.
I've not seen it kick on the second season. Is it second season syndrome, maybe? You know, hopefully he'll put that behind him. He'll start to keep scoring goals. Like last night, I think he should have scored last night as well. And he just pushed it straight into the keeper. It's like, you know, a fully like confident Chinobu to put that either side of the keeper.
Yeah.
I've seen him score some absolute belters last season for the 21s, and he just doesn't seem the same player. Whether that's, again, if people find him out, I don't know. When you look at Aidan Heaven, they both came at the same time from Arsenal, Heaven looks, I know they play completely different positions, but Heaven looks more of a Premier League footballer to me at this moment in time than Chinobu. Hopefully that'll change. But, you know, you got Benito Mantato, by butchering the names again. But Mantato, as we all know, he's been on the periphery of the first team as well. He's also in that 18 squad. So he's well worth looking at for as well. Dan Armour, just to finish on Dan Armour, he's been likened a lot on social media to Harry Maguire in terms of his physicality and the way he brings the ball out from the back. He's very comfortable at bringing the ball out from the back, a bit like Harry Maguire.
Yeah,
he has his hair a bit like Harry Maguire as well, like, you know, big tall lad, you know, proper, looks like a proper English centre half. So he's probably one to also watch out for in that squad.
Are you confident, Ben, for it?
I am confident for this, but then again, Palace have got some really good academy sides, because we're playing Palace in back-to-back cup finals, obviously the FA Youth Cup, FA Cup Youth Cup semi-final, beg your pardon, and then we've got the Premier League Cup final on the 22nd against them at Selhurst Park as well, which that's for the 21s.
So yeah, I know, you can.
But, So Palace have started to really up their game in terms of academy football, so it's going to be interesting to see.
Give us a prediction for the Youth Cup, Ben, then I've just got one final question.
I want to go 2-0 United for the Youth Cup, pal.
Right, I like that. What would Zayden go, do you reckon?
He's confident, he's already told me. Has 3-0.
He? Great. And like, quickly, Bournemouth, what did you were there?
Yeah, I thought it was good. It was good, mate. Good atmosphere. It was a good old school atmosphere. That's the one thing I would pick up at first, you know. Whether that being on a Friday night, like, you know, but it was I was impressed with the atmosphere more than anything. I thought, this is a proper old school United song going on. I like this.
Right. Yeah, it came across. What time did you get back? I mean, like, Friday.
I think by the time we got back home at about 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
Fair play, mate. And then with these Mondays coming up. Are you all right though, Ben? Yeah, I'm looking forward to a hug on Monday. Real contact.
I'm looking forward to that as well, Barney. We've had a good Easter break with little man.
Yeah, great. What was Mario like?
Oh, he loved Mario.
Did he? Good.
I thought it was a decent film, to be fair.
Well, that's, you can't tell. I love all that. I love all that. Have you got hate of the week, Ben?
Hate of the week?
It can't be Uber drivers either.
No, not really, Barney. I think the weather's been quite nice this week.
Well, that's it.
It's been really good.
The change it makes. And there wasn't a nuclear war this morning, which we talked about quickly, so that was always a Brucey bonus that I don't have atomic fallout to deal with when I wake up with my gloomy head on waiting for a coffee. Alright Ben, that's been brilliant, mate, so I look forward, we'll do this properly on Monday on person. I'm never a great one in personal, but take care of yourself, lads, alright, and I'll see you Monday properly. Thanks, up the fucking Reds, everyone. Cheers, mate. Thanks, Ben. Take care, mate.